Hello, and welcome to the program. Christmas is quickly sneaking up on us. Next Sunday, Christmas Eve, and then the following Sunday is New Year's Eve. So ready or not, it will soon be time to ring in a new year. And for families looking for a great way to start off the new year, it's time once again for Day One Dallas, a free family event that will take place at Fair Park in Dallas on January 1st. But not only is it a fun family event, Day One Dallas helps out a pretty amazing nonprofit that helps out the youngest victims of poverty in our area, homeless children. And that nonprofit is Vogel Alcove. If you happen to watch last Sunday's Dallas Marathon, perhaps you heard about Vogel Alcove, since it is the charity of choice for 17-year-old Ariana Lutterman. Ariana is now an internet sensation after she helped the women's winner, Chandler Self, make her way to the finish line last Sunday. Ariana said she did what anyone else would have done by helping Self, who fell several times before making her way across that finish line last week. But Ariana is being modest because for years, she has helped homeless kids by raising awareness about Vogel Alcove and raising money for homeless children. So cheers to Ariana Lutterman, who at 17 has a heart for service. And since Vogel Alcove is her passion, today we are going to highlight the work that takes place at Vogel Alcove. Joining me in studio is Karen Hughes, and Karen is the president and CEO of Vogel Alcove. Karen, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
It's Christmas time, Carol. It's a time of giving, and so many people reach out to help children in need. But many don't think of children as being part of the homeless population here in our area. What can you tell me about the kids that you serve at Vogel Alcove?
Well, you're really right that most people, when they think about homelessness, the image that comes to their mind is usually an adult on the side of the road or under an underpass. And very rarely does the image of an infant, toddler, or preschool cross your mind when we talk about homelessness. But that's actually the children that Vogel has served for over 30 years. So every day walks in about 200 kids that are infants, toddlers, and preschoolers, and they're all homeless. And they come to us from emergency shelters, transitional housing programs, or domestic violence shelters. So their parents bring them to us during the day while the parents are trying to put their lives back together, whether that's going back to school, getting work, or working out what other issues they may be having that are keeping their family in homelessness.
The idea of the homeless population for many is it's a bum. It's someone who's chronically homeless, who has problems with alcohol or drug abuse, or they're just lazy and they're on a street corner and they're probably making more money than I do at a $8 an hour job. And that idea is very much a misconception.
Absolutely. And especially when it comes to family homelessness, because most people don't see the distinction between chronic homelessness and family homelessness. And while chronic homelessness is certainly an issue that we want to work on and help the people that are experiencing that, family homelessness many times is hidden from the community because you won't see children standing on the street corner or sitting on the side of the road. They usually are with their parents in shelters, or they are with their parents in a maybe doubled up situation, or maybe in a motel or something that they're living day to day to day. But the other fact that people don't realize when you think about the face of family homelessness is the average homeless person that's in family homelessness is a single female, age 22, with two children under the age of 6. And that is not the typical vision that we have. And a lot of these are single moms. And so a lot of different things could have happened to them in terms of a lot of them may have suffered from domestic abuse. Probably 80% of all homeless women have been victims of domestic violence, even if they are not currently in a domestic violence situation. And so that then causes many of the issues that stem and lead to homelessness. And so they really are just trying to put their lives back together. And for some of them, they may have made wrong choices in the past. They may be not gotten a GED, or they have to do a job just to make enough money to live, but it never will break the cycle of poverty because it's not a living wage job.
How do the children come to Vogel Alcove? Are you working with the shelters, whether it's a homeless shelter or a domestic violence shelter?
Yes.
And finding out where the kids are and then reaching out to them?
Correct. And we have great relationships with over 20 shelters across the city and actually the Metroplex that can send and refer kids to us. And so they refer them to us and then we enroll them in our programs.
How does Vogel Alcove meet the needs of the homeless children?
Well, as we, it really is, I like to say it's what Vogel Alcove offers them is truly an oasis. Their lives are in turmoil. There are children that are dealing with trauma each and every day. And that trauma is really affecting them because, again, the first 3 years of brain development are so crucial to a person's long-time health as well as their learning ability. And so we have a window of opportunity to really step in and make a difference with these children that are in trauma because brains and trauma don't mix. And so many of them have developmental delays and other social-emotional problems. So our foundational program is our early childhood program. We're open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. We also are a quality program because we're accredited by the National Association for the Education of Young Children. Only about 8% of all early childhood programs in the country have that accreditation, so we're very proud of it. We also receive federal funding from Head Start, so we also meet all those criteria. So we provide, first of all, a quality early childhood environment for the children while their mothers are working or in school or working the shelter program. We also embed in that a mental health component to work with the kids that are having challenging behaviors. And really, we try to create a community in the classroom because our kids don't have a community. They're so transient. And so we really try to work and do social-emotional programming that creates that community and helps them manage the issues that they're facing in terms of, you know, what feelings they're having in this crisis situation. Because of the trauma, many of them, like I mentioned before, are delayed. So we also offer on-site speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. And then we have a wonderful outdoor environment for our kids. We call it the backyard because so many of them do not have a backyard. And so we have a garden, three different kinds of gardens, a vegetable garden, a sensory garden, and a wildlife garden for them in the back. So it's wonderful. So that's our early childhood program. We also provide a health program and a family support program for families.
And when you talk about this early childhood development, we're talking about nutrition as well as giving them a safe and secure environment. Because if they are homeless, a lot of times they're not getting those three squares a day.
Absolutely. And so Vogel Alcove does provide food for our kids. We have breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack. We also are very proud of the fact that we've been working hard to get recognized as a farm-to-school program. So our kids eat very well, from whether they have salmon and quinoa to whatever they may be eating that day. But they also grow some of it outside. We have kitchen gardens where they grow. I think right now they're growing kale that's used in some of the recipes for the winter. We're very proud of that. We also send everybody home with a bye-bye bag every day because sometimes they're going to be on a bus or walking home. It may take an hour or so for them to do that, and so we give them a snack, and they all love to pick up their bye-bye bag as they walk out the door.
That farm-to-market that you're talking about, my brother's a pediatrician, and he talks about when kids grow their own food, they're more likely to eat those vegetables and those fruits, that there's like therapy in the dirt.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, because the parents also mentioned that the kids eat at Vogel Alcove things that they themselves don't eat. But our children, and it's all about giving them an awareness and an ability to try it. And so they eat very well, and they do eat a lot of vegetables and fruits.
The focus is on the youngest of the victims of poverty. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about infant to 5 years old is the real focus, but you also serve those children who are a little bit older than five.
Yes, we do have a what we call gap camp and summer camp. And most of the kids in that program have siblings that are younger, but they've now moved on to elementary school. And so we provide a gap camp. There'll be a gap camp coming up. We just finished one during Thanksgiving break, and there'll be another one coming up last of December and January while the school district's closed. That's for children that are kindergarten through fifth grade. So we'll do another one in spring break, and then we'll have a 3-month summer camp for those school-age kids.
Why is it important for you to have these gap camps? So many children, they look forward to those Christmas breaks or spring breaks or vacation time. Why is it important for you to meet the needs of homeless children during vacation time?
Well, mainly it's to allow their mother to continue to work because a lot of these single moms, they just get a job, they get child care, and they have the school district is taking care of the older children. But then when the school district's out, many of the jobs that they work do not give them the kind of time off. And many of them are doing retail or food service. And so the holidays actually are a very heavy time for that they can actually earn more money. And so then many of them would lose their job if the school district was out and they had to quit. Because the other thing is that these families have almost no support system. So those of us that are professionals, we would call grandma or somebody else to say, hey, can you watch the kids? They're going to be out of school today. They have nobody to call. And so
because it's likely their friends or families
exactly,
in the same situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why it's very important.
VogelAlcove.org is the website if you want more information about their services and their programs that Karen's been talking about, VogelAlcove.org. My guest once again, Karen Hughes. She is the president and CEO of Vogel Alcove, a nonprofit that helps the youngest victims of poverty here in our area, homeless children. And they do this by providing that free quality child development service for homeless children 6 weeks to 5 years old. You can find out more about their great work once again at the website, VogelAlcove.org. So January 1st, 2018, it's going to be the third annual Day One Dallas. This was your idea, Karen. How did the idea for Day One come about?
Well, it's been, I guess, probably over 4 years now. I was looking for something to do with my child on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, and there really were very few options in the Metroplex. I'd come from the East Coast where they actually have something called First Night. So a lot of communities have an event for families on New Year's Eve. And so we looked to say, well, why couldn't we do something? And we were also looking for creative ways to do fundraising. You can only, as a nonprofit, there can only be so many golf outings, so many galas, so many
luncheons
and that kind of thing. So what else could we do that's a missing in the community that people would be interested in? And also, we found that in fundraising, so many corporations have changed their model for fundraising that they many times won't sponsor a gala. They want a different approach. And so doing an event, so we decided, why don't we just do a community event? And so we studied it for a year, and then we launched it 3 years ago. This will be our third time. So it's a wonderful time for kids and families to come out and celebrate on New Year's Day at Fair Park. It starts at 3 o'clock and goes till 7 o'clock and ends with a huge fireworks display. We're so excited about our fireworks. A lot of kids don't get to see fireworks because they're asleep by the time it's time to do fireworks. So ours go off at 7 o'clock. The fireworks are magnificent. They are shot off the buildings at Fair Park, so it's literally like fireworks and surround sound, if you will. They also are all put on to children's music from children's movies and things. And so people have left. This will be the third year. The last 2 years that people have left, that they were leaving, they said, these are not only great fireworks, these are the best fireworks we have ever seen. So they really are the highlight of Day One Dallas.
And as you mentioned, gates will open at 3 o'clock. The fireworks will be at 7 o'clock. So it's a full day of activities. Parents can sleep in if they had a little too much party time the night before, bringing in the new year. And then at 3 o'clock, they can go with the whole family. Lots of children's activities, food vendors, also live entertainment. So it's a full day of fun for the family, and it's absolutely free. The main purpose is raising awareness about what you do. When people hear Vogel Alcove, I'm sure that they don't really quite know what you guys are all about.
Well, absolutely. And there's actually several reasons for it. We do make money off the event through our sponsorships because we get about, last year we had 12,000 people come to the event. This year we're looking for 30,000, especially since it's a free event. And people literally came from all over the Metroplex because, quite honestly, there's not a lot to do on New Year's Day. So we do make money from our sponsors for the event, but it's also to raise awareness for people to know more about Vogel Alcove and what we do and how people can start the new year helping those that are less fortunate than they are. So those are the real reasons that we do it. But it's also, I like to do it because it's a thank you to the community. We're throwing a party for the community, and a lot of times nonprofits need the community to support us. We couldn't do what we do in Dallas. We have a $5.5 million budget, and we raise that every year from the Dallas community. And so we're able to do what we're able to do because of the generosity of the Dallas community. So on this one day, it's also our way of saying, thank you, Dallas. Come out and play with us on New Year's Day. And it's our thank you for your support throughout the year.
Are sponsorships still available? It's December 17th.
Absolutely. Anyone can call, and you can actually go to the website, the Day One Dallas website, or go to just the regular Vogel Alcove website and call our main number, which is 214-368-8686. 214-368-8686. And you could ask for Greg Brinkley, and he handles the sponsorships for Day One Dallas.
And once again, the website is VogelAlcove.org. How about a little bit of a history lesson? The name Vogel Alcove doesn't immediately make you think, oh, they help homeless children. So what's the history behind Vogel Alcove?
Well, it's a 30-year history. It started in the Jewish faith with a group of very energetic women deciding that they want to do something about the homeless situation in Dallas 30 years ago. Thelma Vogel was leading the social action committee at one of the temples in Dallas, and she reached out to her friend at another temple, Doris Budner, and together they created the Dallas Jewish Coalition for the Homeless, which ended up being 21 different Jewish organizations coming together to do something about homelessness in Dallas. And so they each broke up in groups and went out, and they looked at housing, they looked at food, they looked at shelter, they looked at all different aspects. And one of the committees was childcare, to look at childcare. And at that time, there was literally nothing for childcare for the people that were homeless. So they came back, they all presented their cases for what the group should take on first, and childcare won, and that was the beginning of Vogel Alcove. So they started in a alcove at the what used to be the Downtown Family Shelter, which is now Family Gateway, with 10 children. That's how it started, and then it's grown throughout the years. So it started out with the name the Dallas Jewish Coalition for the Homeless, and then it became its own nonprofit, which is a not religious-based organization. And Thelma was killed in a plane crash in the early 90s out at DFW. And so after that, they named the organization in her honor, since she's the one that started it. So that's where you get the Vogel from Thelma Vogel, and you get the alcove from what we started.
What a wonderful legacy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I always hear my friends who are parents complain about, the cost of childcare, mm-hmm. that a lot of times they're paying as much as they pay for their mortgage their rent to take care of one child. So if you have two children and you're in an economic crisis and you don't know how you're going to afford rent and food mm-hmm. and gas and insurance and everything else, on top of that, taking care of a child, you guys are saviors to them.
Well, and we also, once the children that are entering must be homeless before they can come to Vogel Alcove. But if we work with the parent and they're able to provide, get housing and a job, we don't make them leave. We allow them to stay because we want to stabilize that family. And childcare is such a huge expense. If that mom who's just now getting into a house and getting her feet on the ground and stabilize, and she doesn't have childcare, she'll be end up back being homeless. So we allow her to stay and work with her as we move them to more stability. Because we don't want to just address homelessness as we're helping them manage it. We want to be part of the puzzle to be able to truly break the cycle of poverty.
Well, that's one of the services that we really haven't focused on. We've talked about the early childhood development services, the school age programs, kindergarten to fifth grade, the mental health integration, health services. But we haven't talked about your family support division, which really focuses on getting people out of poverty.
Absolutely.
And getting them on firm footing.
So we have a team of 5 family support workers and a director, and they all have a master's level in social work as well as clinical license, some of them. And so they work individually with the parents. And people say, well, we don't do the same thing with every parent. We meet them wherever they are. And it could be a mom that has a degree but was in a domestic violence situation, so had to start all over. And so we work with her on getting a job that she can make a living wage job. Or it could be somebody that, again, made wrong choices. They have gone through recovery. They don't have a GED at all. So we've got to start there with them. So the case manager's job is really to come alongside the parents and figure out what are the next steps for that particular parent. We also provide resources on site for them. We have a big resource room where we can provide socks and coats and diapers and wipes and every kind of clothes and everything that the parent may need. But we also do stores throughout the year, like a fall store. We're gearing up for our holiday store now. But then we also provide employment counseling on site. So we have employment counselor that comes twice a week that works individually with them and helps them with their resumes and help them know where the right jobs are and tries to help them get employment.
And through that resource center, Karen, are you able to help them navigate and find, if you guys can't provide the service for them, find other nonprofits here in our area that can help them out?
Absolutely. So we partner with a lot of different nonprofits that support us. A good example is Dallas Furniture Banks. We don't do furniture, so when they get an apartment, we're able to refer them to our friends over at Dallas Furniture Bank, and they help them get the furniture. But that's the job of the family support worker, is to figure out to plug them in to all the other resources that are in the community.
VogelAlcove.org, once again, is the website, VogelAlcove.org. My guest once again, Karen Hughes, the president and CEO of Vogel Alcove, a nonprofit that helps the youngest victims of poverty here in our area, homeless children. It is Christmas time, and of course, many of us have been doing what we can to make sure that we help children in need. And for the youngest victims of poverty here in our area, the Vogel Alcove is there, not just at Christmas time, but year-round. You're going to make sure that they have a happy and secure Christmas with their families. For people who want to know more about Vogel Alcove, perhaps volunteer opportunities, there is Coffee with the Kids every second Thursday of the month. You just had one on December 14th. Mm-hmm. What takes place at Coffee with the Kids?
Coffee with the Kids is a standing invitation to the community to come. It's the second Thursday of every month. It starts at 8:30 with coffee, and then I do a brief presentation about what our programs are. And then the people actually get to take a tour of our facility and see it in action and meet some of the kids. We try to have people out by 9:30, so it's a great way to people to come and actually see it in action. And it's the second Thursday of every month starting at 8:30.
Urgent needs right now for Vogel Alcove as we get ready for the holidays. It's December 17th. People are in a giving mood right now. I think it's because they want to make sure that they're on Santa's nice list instead of his naughty list. So what are some of the urgent needs that you have to fill?
Well, it will be just our ongoing needs for warm clothing. I mean, we take new and gently used clothes. Some groups do the bye-bye bags for us, volunteering. We can't have enough people that can come and help volunteer with us and give hugs to these kids. And in the latter part of December, it will be for clothing and winter clothing to get ready for the winter time.
Because socks, even though we and underwear.
Socks, underwear, coats, hats, things like that, because they grow. And so these,
they grow rapidly.
Yes, exactly. So those are some of the things that we do. If people still would like to give toys, we use those throughout the year. Because every child,
birthdays.
Yes, we give every child gets a birthday. And so it's not too late to also, when you're out shopping, to do that. We go through all to give toys that we will save throughout the year to do give for birthdays. We also use those for parent training, that some of the parents may need some more educational type toys that they work with their kids at home. So we also use those throughout the year. We also use lots of diapers. That's an easy thing to throw in your grocery cart when you're at the grocery store. But if you're a parent, you also know how that adds up when you check out and how diapers are something that you've got to have. And so we go through probably 5,000 diapers a month at Vogel Alcove. So we can always use diapers.
And I know that there is a list of the urgent needs on the website, VogelAlcove.org. You talked about the volunteer opportunities. I know the staff, they're licensed social workers that work with the children one-on-one, but those volunteer opportunities for classroom buddies to read to the kids, yes. Also the backyard buddies. You talked about the backyard.
Right, the backyard buddies. We also need nap buddies. We always need people that can sit in the classroom and so that the teachers can do planning and also do meetings and that kind of stuff during that time. And so it's great stress relief because we have music on and you just have to sit and rub kids' backs. And so we need nap buddies as well as any other time in terms of volunteers. And then we need volunteers. People can come and do projects just once a year, or they can be there every day. I mean every week. Some of our volunteers come once a week and they go to the same classroom. So they're just like assistants in that classroom.
When somebody's heading off to church today and thinking, oh, my group, we want to do a project, what exactly is in the bye-bye bags?
The bye-bye bags usually include, they're like just a regular lunch sack, and they include like a small water or a juice, and then other not like applesauce or Vienna sausage or crackers, cheese crackers, those kind of things. And so those are great for groups to do off-site, and then they donate them and bring them. So it's just non-perishable, kid-friendly. We try to keep it nut-free and that kind of stuff, but those are the kind of things that go in a bye-bye bag. And a lot of groups where the kids will draw on the front of them and do little messages to the kids, they love those. I had a little boy yesterday as I was walking out. He was picking up his, and he wanted the one that had the balloons on it. So he and his mom were discussing finding the one with the balloons. So they even pay attention to that, what's on the bye-bye bags.
What do you wish people knew about the families that you serve? Not just the children, but their parents.
I think it really is that there is a way out. that the so many people think that poverty is difficult and it's complicated, and it's not probably what you think. A lot of people think it's everybody that it's their fault, but it's very, very complicated, and it's hard to get out of that cycle as people get into the cycle of poverty. We have some people that have been in homeless for three generations, and so that's extremely difficult to break. But the reality is it can be broken with the right interventions, and that Vogel Alcove is that for our families. And so we get to see the other side just as a special, it's just the little, and people don't understand it. Sometimes it's just the littlest things that are important. We've had that we take for granted. So we had one of our great partners is Driver Select. And so not long ago, one of our moms went to Driver Select to buy her very first car. And so the person that was doing the transaction didn't know it at that time. But then they came to our spring fundraiser, and that mom was on the video talking about that she had just graduated from nursing school. And it was so impactful to him to see that here, this person from Vogel Alcove, he had no idea when she came into the showroom that she was one of our parents, but that she had worked so hard over the last 3 years. She had two kids. She was homeless. She had no support system, but yet she put one foot in front of the other every day and went toward that goal over 3 years. She got her nursing degree, and she walked into Driver Select to buy her first car. That seems like people do that every day. But for our parents, it is a challenge, but it's just rewarding to see when they do get the support they need that they can put one step at a time, they can get out of poverty.
And as you said, you're that piece of the puzzle that helps them put their life back together so that they can start that foundation.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of success stories, celebrities who grew up in poverty and were homeless. Jim Carrey was homeless when he was young, and his family lived in a tent in Canada. Hilary Swank, she and her mom lived in a car. Sarah Jessica Parker grew up in Ohio in poverty, and at one point her family was homeless. So there are success stories, and when you help the children, you can break that cycle of poverty.
And for every one of those stories, though, if you go back to the story, there was a one juncture at time that somebody or some organization intervened and provided what they needed. And that's what Vogel Alcove is to these families. They are the intervention to create. We like to say that we're creating a different ending to their story and helping them create that.
With the sixth largest GDP of any American city, major cultural and sports programs, renowned medical centers and universities, and more than 20 Fortune 500 company headquarters, Dallas is a thriving city with so much to offer. However, the city of Dallas also has the highest child poverty rate in the country among cities with more than 1 million people. This is from the Vogel Alcove website. It doesn't make sense that we have this homeless children population.
Right. And most people literally they can't even grasp it because it's just not something that you think about. The other side to that story is that Dallas is one of the most philanthropic cities in the entire country. So that's the good news inside of all of that. Dallas ISD alone last year had 3,600 homeless children that were registered as homeless in Dallas ISD.
And so many school districts across the Metroplex in Irving and Grand Prairie and Fort Worth and Denton now have special counselors just to deal with the homeless children population.
Correct.
VogelAlcove.org if you want to find out more about their Coffee with the Kids, maybe the volunteer opportunities, or you would like to donate this holiday season, Vogel, V-O-G-E-L, Alcove.org, and start the new year right at Day One Dallas. It's a free family event hosted by Vogel Alcove, this nonprofit that helps homeless children. Day One Dallas will feature live entertainment, food vendors, children activities, and a spectacular fireworks show Monday, January 1st at Fair Park in Dallas. You can find out more at their website, VogelAlcove.org. Karen Hughes, thank you so much for being on the program and for what you guys do each and every day.
Thank you so much.